Such a privilege. Isn't this a privilege? I think we have for too long taken it for granted that we can just get together on a Sunday morning and have services. Oh. Thank you. We've taken it for granted too long, haven't we? We just really have. But I'm very grateful. I'm very, very grateful that we can be together this morning. I'm very grateful. So I do know that there's some that aren't here this morning, but I trust after a while all that can come together. So thank you. Could we kneel together to pray? Could we do that? Oh God, our Father, thank you so much for this wonderful privilege that we have to gather in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the words that have already come that have inspired our hearts about the foundation and how we build on that foundation. And Lord, the lesson for the children, God, that lesson's not only for the children, but it's all for all of us. And oh God, this morning, we just welcome you here, Lord. Thank you for being here. Lord, it's with confidence. Your word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So we thank you, Lord, that you're here. Lord, we ask that you would just come and help all of us to open our hearts to you. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word, to allow it to sink into our hearts and to embrace it. God, we just I ask in Jesus' name, help, Lord, would you give me the burden clearly that you want me to share with everyone, and help us, Lord, to use this time, this next hour here, and just draw nigh to you, draw nigh to your word. Make choices and decisions to embrace what you want us to do and to follow after. So thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you so much. Give me clear thoughts and inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. And honor to the mothers. I wonder how many mothers we have in here this morning. Could all the mothers rise to your feet? Could you do that? If you're a mother, could you just rise to your feet? Wonderful. All right, you may be seated. This isn't only for the mothers. It's also for the fathers, and it's for the young people, and it's for all of us. But we would like to give special recognition to the mothers. And I'm not sure. I don't think I should ask for a raise of hands, but I'm curious how many of you have blessed your moms. And I'm not only talking about the children and the youth, but today or in the last couple days here, that you've blessed your mom. You know, some of you, your moms have passed on. Others, for you moms and dads here, maybe your mom is still alive and you can give her a call. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I do think it's important that we give honor and respect to your moms. So, trust as we look at the subject, it can be something that can inspire us in some of that. As I have considered the subject, I guess I'm saddened by what I see in the world today. I'm very sad. I would ask that you would consider with me, and I'd like to take you back 500 years. I'd like to take you back 100 years. The society that we live in today and how motherhood is viewed is drastically different than it's been viewed for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. It's very different. It's very, very different. And I'm saddened by that. And so one of my goals here this morning is to lift up our appreciation for motherhood. I like to give respect that there might be some sisters here who maybe God's going to choose for you to be single. And I like to just encourage you with that. God calls some to get married and some to be single. And so when we talk about motherhood, and in that respect, I don't want to put you into a guilt trip, or I'll make you feel abnormal or that you're not a part of God's perfect plan. I want to be careful with that, okay? If you can hear me with that. But I would like to consider the subject of motherhood. If you look back over the hundreds and thousands of years gone by, motherhood was largely, and I'm going to say that because of the fall, there's a lot of things that have entered in with motherhood over the thousands of years that hasn't been good. And yet, motherhood was viewed and respected in a very large way, in the way that God wanted sisters or ladies to function in as mothers. And it was appreciated. But I'm going to tell you that has changed. I could take you, even in this local area, I could take you from door to door. And we could knock on the door and we could tell them, hey, we're here to do a survey. What do you think a woman's role is in our society and in the world today? And you would be astounded at the answer that you get right in this local community. If you go out a little bit further, you go up to our bigger cities, it becomes more and more prevalent. Women, it's lifted up the idea that a woman is to be a career woman. And there's a shift that has moved away from the beauty, the plan of motherhood that God has planned for us into something very, very differently. Something very, very differently. And so a part of what I'd like to just, as we go through this morning, is lift up the beauty of what God has given us to where it should be. And I like to encourage us. Is there anyone here who wasn't born to a mother? If there is, raise your hand. Let me say that again. Is there anyone here who was not born to a mother? Anyone here that was born to a dad? Sure, you're as a parent, yes, but not. But all of us were born to a mother, right? So all of us have a mother. Some, we can't talk to her anymore. Some are passed away. But I'd like to just bring us to the idea that God wants all of us to appreciate our mothers. Whether you're here as a younger person or whether you're here as an adult, and maybe you still have a mom, but maybe you're distant from your mom in heart. God would have us to have an appreciation for mom. Let me just read some verses that go with the whole idea of wives, mothers. And listen to me carefully. I won't take time to turn to it, but let's listen to these words. Proverbs 31, verse 30 says these words, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 says these words, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says these words, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." And it keeps on going. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, listen to this. "The aged women likewise," so aged women here, "the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 verse 4. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones." Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Proverbs 31 verse 20. "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy." Proverbs 31 verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Proverbs 31 verse 1. And we're just going to read just a verse. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Proverbs 31, 18. "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." 2 Peter chapter 1. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." Proverbs 31, verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Proverbs 21, verse 9. Listen to this. "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. But a God-fearing woman, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. I'd like for us to, first of all, consider some women in the Bible that had a vision. Sisters, mothers in here, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? I know when the alarm clock goes, or when you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a baby crying and there's diapers to change and there's a tummy ache and there's teething going on and there's all kinds of things happening, it's difficult to have a vision. Sometimes difficult to have a vision. But I like for us to consider a couple women in the Bible that had a vision. A couple women in the Bible that had a vision. I'd like for us to, first of all, consider Moses. If we go back to the context of Moses, here was the children of Israel. They were in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. And the children of Israel were at a place that was very difficult. It was very trying. And because of all the children that were being born, and there was children growing up, and there's young men, and there was strength, and throughout all Egypt, these young men were working hard. And as the government of Egypt, the pharaohs of Egypt in those days, as they looked abroad, they realized that these Hebrews were growing in number and in strength beyond what they were. And because of that, there's fear that rose in their hearts, and they made a decree that all the young boys that were born should be killed and cast into the river. Am I right? Into the river. Now, how many of you parents have had a baby in the last 3 years? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Okay, how many of you would be willing to allow something like that to happen to you? Okay? There was a decree that had gone out that all the little boys are going to be killed. And in the middle of that, there was a father and a mother that had a vision. They had a little baby boy, and as they looked on this little baby boy, there was something that rose up in their hearts, and they said, "We cannot do this. We cannot. We will do everything within our power, everything within our strength to protect this little young man." Hebrews 11, verse 23 says these words, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses," now listen to this, this is going to go on and describe what happened in the years to come. And the Bible doesn't tell us how long that they took care of Moses, but at least until he was weaned. They say that in those days, it was normal anywhere between the age of 2 years to 4 years of age till a baby was weaned. In that culture. But they were able to keep him. And you know the story of Moses. They were able to keep Moses because they had a vision. There was something within them, and they brought him to God, and there was something within him. They were going to serve God, they were going to obey him, and they were going to bring up this young man to serve God. They were bent and determined that this young man was not going to be destroyed like the rest of the boys. But consider with me what would have been in the heart of that mother and of that father when they realized we can have this son for 2 years and for 3 years. Then we're going to have to give him over to Pharaoh's daughter. And he's going to be in all this idolatry, all the wickedness, all the sin of the nation. He's going to be in the middle of it. Can you imagine the things that were going on in that mother's heart? Right? That mother's heart. I'm sure that that mother was praying. I'm sure that that mother, as soon as she was able to speak to that young boy, she was communicating. She was talking to him about God Almighty. She was talking to him about his future. She was talking to him about the wickedness and the idolatry of the Egyptians. As a little boy, a vision. A mom that had a vision. Listen to what happens. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I wonder why that was, right? I wonder why that was. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'd like to suggest that that mother had something within her heart that she carried as a tremendous burden for her son. And I'm going to suggest that because that mother and that father carried that burden is largely why that young man Moses turned out the way he did. He was one of the greatest men in the Old Testament in serving God. Here's another one. Timothy. Timothy. You know, we have 1 and 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul talks about Timothy. Timothy was ordained an elder in one of the early churches. He was ordained. He was given responsibility. He was a faithful man. He led the church. He was a man that feared God. And you ask the question, where did all that come from? Where did all that come from? Well, Scripture gives us a peek into his ancestry. Scripture gives us a peek into his mother and his grandmother. This is what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first. Is that where it started? I don't know. Is that where it started? It dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Oh, this man Timothy had a grandmother. I wonder where his father was. If I remember right, Timothy, his father was a Greek. Father was a Greek. But very possibly a believer too. Yeah, it doesn't say. Very possibly a believer too. But it very specifically says that the faith that I see in you, Timothy, that faith I saw first in your grandmother. This past week, I walked into a local business here and I needed some grass seed, and I walked in And there's a man that I don't see very often. I know who he is if I see him. But he lives across from where my grandparents used to live when they were alive. And walked in there, I didn't know if he recognizes me, but I walked in there. And as we were loading the grass seed, I made a comment about him living across from where my grandparents used to live. And this is what came out of his mouth. He said, "Oh, I sure remember." He said, "Sometimes I get lonely for some of those people that are gone." And he said, "I remember your grandmother. I remember your grandmother." And he had some things to say about my grandmother. Here it says, "The faith that I see in you, Timothy, I saw first in your grandmother. And then I saw it in your mother, and I see it in you." Wow. Isn't that a blessing? That is a blessing. Timothy had a vision. Here's another one, Samuel. Samuel's mother had a vision. If you remember Samuel's mother, she's the one that would come to the tabernacle every year. And every year she would come and she would kneel and she would pray and she would make her request known. And she would come there year after year, but she was childless. She had no children. But every year she came in there and she made a request. She prayed for children. And one year, as she and her husband were there, and she was crying, the priest, Eli, the priest, looked on. And he was a bit concerned as to what was happening. And this faithful lady, she said, "I'm seeking God because I want a son." She said, "If God gives me a son, I'm willing to give him back to God. If God gives me a son, I'm willing to give that son back to God again." And Eli prayed and he asked God that God might give her a son. And God gave her a son. God gave her a son. And here was this little baby. This little baby. I think I want my son to stay home with me, right? Right? My little son. I think I want him to stay with me, right? She said, "If God gives me a son, I'm going to give him back to God, and he will serve God all of his days." And she got this little son, and every year, her husband, the family, would go to the tabernacle to pray, to offer, to ask God for forgiveness, to offer sacrifices, all those things. But she stayed home until Samuel was old enough to go. We don't know how old that was, very possibly between the ages of 2 and 4 years old. But when he was ready, can you just imagine? Who do we have here that's 3 years of age? Do we have anyone that's 3 years of age? Jared's young son. What's his name again? Andrew. Jared's young son, Andrew. Yes. Yes. Wow. Young sons. Can you just imagine 3 years of age? On the way over to Shiloh, a mom having for years prayed for a son, then God gave her a son, and now at 3 years of age, I'm going to give him back to God, and now he's going to serve God in the temple. I'm going to bring him. When I bring him, I won't see him every day. I might see him once a year. But in those 3 years, can you just imagine what was going on in that mother's heart? Can you just imagine what was going on in that mother's heart, those 3 years?
The time and time she went down on her knees, she prayed for her son. She dedicated her son to God. She gave him over to God. She prayed that he could be a faithful, God-fearing man. She said, God, I'm giving him to you. God, I'm giving him to you. First Samuel 1, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and an ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And the child was young. And you know the story? Samuel grew up to be a God-fearing man. Samuel grew up to be a God-fearing man. I consider my own heritage. I consider my own grandparents. I mentioned my grandma and my grandpa. And for many of you, you might not know, but on this, you know, I grew up down in Sugar Creek. But on this road here, County Road 168, if you take this road about 4 or 5 miles, just before you get to Bunker Hill, that crossroad, that intersection, just a quarter mile this side on the right, that's where my grandparents lived. My mom's parents, that's where they lived. My grandfather and my grandmother, they were some of those who were willing, in the middle of very difficult times, in the middle of when the churches that they were in had apostatized and they were living in sin and all kinds of immorality among the youth and all kinds of things going on. My grandparents got converted and they had a vision for their family. They had a vision for their sons and their daughters. And my mother was the oldest of the children. But they had a vision. They're both gone now. They had a vision. And I'm going to say because of the burden that they carried, it carried on to my parents. My grandparents on my father's side the same way. They made choices and decisions for the sake of their children so that their children could grow up, so that their children could serve God. And they had a burden for the children. I know my parents and my grandparents, they had a burden for their children, that their children would grow up in righteousness and holiness with their hearts set on Jesus Christ and to obey His word. Isn't that a blessing? It's a blessing. A burden and a vision, right? A burden and a vision. Moms, do you have a burden and a vision? Or are you simply changing diapers and cleaning the house and washing dishes and everything that goes with that in a mundane every day? You know, that's a part of it, right? That's a part of it. But there's a vision and a heart that will take your children places nothing else will. Here's another heading: fulfillment and satisfaction in motherhood. And again, I'd like to just give recognition that most ladies God will call to be married, and there's some that are going to be single. So this is not in any way, shape, or form putting away the single sisters, the responsibility, not at all. Fulfillment and satisfaction in motherhood.
Now, I'm not sure how to say this, but there have been there's been a shift to where it's put out there that there's a higher sense of fulfillment in careers, a higher sense of fulfillment in, I'm going to say, even the mission field. And I want to say this carefully, but I know of ladies who have felt called from God to go on the mission field. And when they got married, it was like the mission field's call was higher than bearing children and all those types of things. I'd like to just express some carefulness with all that. Okay? Not trying to diminish the idea of going on a mission field or sisters having a burden for that, or not trying to diminish that. Just trying to put out there a carefulness that we don't go too far. And I'm talking about sisters, right? Talking about sisters with this. And maybe I'll just say it this way. I'm allowed to say it. My wife is one of those who had some goals and ambitions as a young mom, and she had desires, and somehow in the middle of that, God called me in a different direction than what some of her thoughts had been, right? And you ask the question, well, you know, can there be satisfaction in following your husband? Can there be satisfaction in doing the things that you really find yourself? Most certainly. I mean, you know, most of you didn't know that because, you know, my wife is so blessed. She's just, right? She, because she's given herself to following what God has given her. I would consider with me that there is within every lady something that God has put in there that's naturally a desire for children, right? To bear children. Right? It's just there. There is a certain fulfillment that comes with bearing children. There's something that God has put that in a lady. I mean, I just scratch my head, you know, and one of my sons, he got engaged, and she's from Indiana, and he asked her, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Will you move in to Ohio?" "Well, yeah." You know, it just, there's just, you know, why wouldn't I? Sure, you know, right? It just, there's something about God. God has put within ladies this just desire to go and be a wife and go and bear children and go and serve. And, you know, it's of God. And I'm going to suggest that that's God-given, right? That's of God. That's good. Now, I know that there's fulfillment that comes in a lot of other ways, too. Okay, that's not the ultimate. Our ultimate fulfillment is in Christ, in God. And yet God made us. You know, God made us men to be leaders. God made us to have a desire to lead, to guide. You know, God made us with those different dynamics. And so with all that, there is a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment that comes with that. And that's good and right, but I'd like to suggest the ultimate comes from God Himself. The ultimate comes from God Himself. I'd like to also suggest that for a mother to have children that we spend time with from the time they get up in the morning all day long,
for year after year after year. That influence from the mother on that child, that's God. God has ordained it that way. And the reason that God has ordained it that way is God wants an influence to come upon that child from God himself, so that there will be another generation of holiness and godliness that will go on to the next generation and that will go on to the next generation. If you look at the kings, King David had quite a number of wives. King Solomon had quite a number of wives. And the wives that came from the other nations, those wives were the wives that took his, you know, it took everything away. The children that grew up with those other wives, those were idolatrous kings. In years to come, when they grew up, they were idolatrous. Solomon's mother was an Israelite. And even though all the things happened that, you know, with Bathsheba and all that, David repented and King Solomon was born, there was an influence of holiness and godliness on King Solomon. And if you look at the other wives, if you go through those, that history, the wives that were from other nations, that influence that was upon them was an ungodly influence. It didn't turn out well. Here's my point. A mother that will spend day after day with her children growing up, it will have an effect. It will. It will have an effect. Some think that it's just messy diapers and cleaning and making meals and serving your husband, and it's just the same old, but it's far from that. The influence that we can have, it can be in teaching, it can be an example, it can be in praying, it can be in singing, it can be by your honesty. It can be by you confessing faults one to another among the children. It can be by faith. It can be by obedience. It can be by trust. All of those things, mothers, as you are serving God, your influence will influence the children. I have another heading here that says, girls preparing for the future. So is it good for girls to prepare for the future? Sure. We don't know what all that is. For many, it'll be marriage. For some, it'll be singlehood. Preparing for the future is good. young girls, it's okay for you to prepare for the future. It's okay. With some flexibility that you don't know what all God's plan is, but be preparing for the future. Let me just give you a couple things here, girls. I've heard, before I go into this list, girls, I've heard of girls growing up and not being able to cook. When they get married, they need to learn how to cook. Okay. My suggestion was that it'd probably be better to prepare a bit, right? I think so. Now, you don't have to be as good of a cook as your mom is. All that'll come with, you know, a couple more years, right? But it's good to prepare yourself. Here's some things. First of all, learn to walk with God. Learn to walk with God. Secondly, learn
how to manage the house. So, if mom leaves and mom's gone for a day or two, do things sort of just keep on going at home? If you're at home, you know, young girls, it just keeps on going. Or does everything fall flat on its nose and the boys come home and dad is there and say, dad has to tell, what gets cooked for supper. Dad has to say, okay, the laundry needs done. And dad has to say, this needs cleaned up. Do you follow? Okay. Learning to manage the house. Cooking, sewing, cleaning, maybe gardening. I realize that, that gardening, I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on that. I know for some it's not practical. But I do count it a blessing. If you have the opportunity to learn, I count it a great privilege. Gardening, caring for the children. Caring for the children. See, if I say caring for the children, children need spankings, they need corrected, they need discipline, all that. But beyond all that, one of the big things is they simply need to be loved. See, Caleb's, he's young. But it's not uncommon for him at 7 years of age to come to me and something really hurt him. And I can see by what's going on that what he really needs is for me to care about him. Right? I can see that, his hand got scraped up, but it's not about his hand. It's about his feelings. And me as a dad or as a mom, we can just sort of shrug him off and, that doesn't hurt that much. Okay. But what's happening is deep in his heart. There's things going on in his heart. And I hold him close, and mom holds him close. And 2 minutes later, everything's fine. He's all scratched up from gravel, and he's all bloody. But he's forgotten that that's even bloody. But his feelings are all back to normal again, right? Girls, are you learning to care for your siblings? Are you learning? Are you watching what mom and dad are doing in their discipline? Are you watching the heart that comes out of them? Are you learning about children? Are you learning? Preparing for the future? Girls preparing. Serving and working for maybe even others in the church. I think that's a blessing. And I know that within the church there is some of that. And I think it's a blessing. Girls, go help sisters in the church who have little babies and need cleaning done and need different things done, go help them. I count it a privilege that my daughter, she can go help grandma. She regularly goes helps grandma because grandma isn't able to get her work done anymore. She goes helps grandma. Learns to care for older people. Learns to care. But serving and working for others in the church, maybe on the mission field. Girls, can I ask you a hard question? Girls, are you clearly in subjection to your mom and dad. I know that's a tough one, right, girls? Are you clearly in subjection to your mom and dad? If you aren't, you're not ready to get married. That's a big mouthful, right? There are some who do work out, and there's a place for some of that. It depends on the situation. There's a place for some of that. But let me just say that, where's your heart? Where are you going with that? Are you doing it because it's one of those necessary things, but your heart is back here where the heart of mothers really should be, right? Where the heart of moms should be. And I'm not here at all knocking some working out. There's a place for some of those things, can be, but I'm going to say that we can move into some of that and we can lose our focus and vision. Let's be careful. In the world, there's a push for equality and a push for women to have a career. And I know I mentioned this earlier, but let me just tell you, if you do any type of studying, ladies, if you do any type of studying, at the bottom and at the heart of that whole movement, that whole thing, and I'm going to say it influences us, at the heart of that is a desire to be equal with the man in authority. At the heart of that. If you don't believe me, go look. It's there. There's a desire to have an equal authority. There's a desire to do all the things that a man also does, even running for president. I mean, governors, all those kind of things. In the career world, that's what it's all about, is for a woman to be equal with the man. That is at the heart of it all. So that she can do and be everything that a man also is. I'm going to say that is not from God. A push to become someone by holding a position. I'm also going to say that there's a lot of seeking after pleasures rather than just simply enjoying our children. And I, in preparing for all this, I was taking a bit of a look at why there's so many abortions in the world today. If you could guess, what would you guess the reason for abortions to be today? Anyone want to guess? What's at the height? What is the primary reason that women have abortions in the world today? Anyone want to guess? Yes, exactly right. Secular studies say that exact thing, that the majority of the abortions come from that if a baby comes, that baby is going to interfere with what I want to do. That's selfishness, right? That's selfishness. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. But I'm just going to say that there's a lot of selfishness. Let me just also nudge another little thing here that... am I right to do that? There's a push to have smaller families. And I'm going to say there's a push. I'm going to say, we all know that that's in the world today. But I'm going to say that the idea and the thinking is creeping into our Anabaptist circles. And there's moms and dads that are saying, I can't afford to have a big family. There's moms and dads that really, they don't want a big family because it costs too much. It'll cost me too much money, and I can't have the enjoyment that I want. In fact, I know people. I can name them to you. This is what they say. Get married young. Have a couple children. Just a couple children. And then the children can grow up. And then you can have a long time of just you and your wife and in retirement. And you can have all kinds of... I can name people like that that have told me that. Let me tell you, that is ungodliness. There's a push and a desire to have small families. And I'm going to say that is not from God. It's not from God. Psalms 127 says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Large families are a blessing. I grew up in what I'm going to say, a large family. There's eight of us. And I'm just going to say we had such wonderful times together. I mean, those of you from small families, you have no idea what you're missing out on. Anyhow, that was just a comment. Large families are a blessing. They really are. Here's another heading. Children giving due respect and honor. I'd like to just come back to all you children here and ask you a question. Do you honor your mom? Well, but she's so cranky sometimes. Do you honor your mom? Well, she's not always nice to me. Do you honor your mom? Well, I would if she, respect me. Do you honor your mom? Well, I would if... Now listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says... I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I'd like to help us understand what honor means. Sometimes a lot of people think, well, I would honor, I would respect, I would honor someone if, right? I would honor if. Now, there's also, that word honor is also used here. Let me read you another verse. In 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. Now, I'm going to ask, this question is for the children 12 and under. Who's our president right now? Donald Trump. How many of you have seen a picture of Donald Trump? Children, have you seen a picture of Donald Trump? How many of you would like to see Donald Trump? Here it says, honor the king, right? Honor the king. Now, talking about honor, let me tell you what honor is. But before I tell you what honor is, I want to talk about Donald Trump right now, okay? Did you know that Donald Trump lies? Did you know that Donald Trump lies? Donald Trump is not a Christian. I am very appreciative that Donald Trump gives us privileges. He gives us privileges to serve God that I'm very appreciative of. But Donald Trump lies. Right? He lies. He's done a lot of ungodly things. But he's the king, right? Donald Trump is a king, and he's the president of the United States, right? He's the president. And, okay, if he's a president, and I would, if I'd be able to, I might even do it. But I know there's no way to do it. But if I'd be able to, I would somehow get a hold of Donald Trump, and I would have him come in here so all of you could shake hands with him. Right? I would. Because I think it's good to respect the king. He's the king. But let me tell you something. If Donald Trump, if President Trump would come in here this morning, if he would come in here, he has bodyguards. Now, can anyone tell me how many bodyguards he has? Lots, right? And a bodyguard is someone who walks in front of him, beside him, so that if anyone wants to kill him, they stand in front of him. They do everything they can to protect Donald Trump. Not only that, if Trump would come in here a day or two before, they would go throughout all the local areas. They would inspect all the businesses. They would know exactly what's happening, and they would have all kinds of security in the area, because Donald Trump is going to show up at Faith Christian Fellowship and want to make sure no one kills him, right? And if we all sit here and everyone's wait, you know, Trump would come in here. We know everyone shows up. And I promise you, if I would tell the whole church that Donald Trump's going to be here, I'm sure everyone would be here, right? I mean, I'm sure Peter would get off that truck. I'm sure Eli would quit his electric work. If we'd have it 3:00 in the afternoon, I'm sure everyone would quit everything you're doing. You know, Simon, he delivers sheds. He would tell his boss, I'm going to go see Donald Trump today. I mean, you know, goodbye. Okay. Everything else would shut down because everyone wants to see Donald Trump. And guess what would happen? Everyone would sit here just anxiously waiting because he's going to come up here. Everyone would wait. Why? Because there's something within here us that's honoring to Trump. Not because he's a godly man, but he's a president, right? It's because of his position, right? It's because he's the president of the United States. You know, Jonas, he's up in Akron somewhere, and I'm sure he wouldn't be pouring any concrete that day. He would be here, guaranteed. I mean, everyone would be here. Why? Is it because he's such a godly man? No, but it's because he's the president. And we're going to honor him. And I'm sure that if he comes in here, every one of us would want to shake his hand, right? Every one of us. You know, we want to be able to say, we shook his hand. And there would be something within us that would want to respect Donald Trump. Not because he's a wicked man, but because he's the president of the United States. Okay, that's a picture of honoring. Okay, now, children, how many of you honor your mom like that. Children, how many of you honor your mom in your heart like that? And you're like, she's the best mom. I want to do everything I can to. Mom. Honor your father and your mother. Now, your moms don't do very much. I have to skip some stuff here. And I will, because I really feel like there's a necessity here for some of you younger ones to verbally tell your mom on the mic here this morning that you appreciate her. I think you need to have that privilege. And I'm just gonna skip some stuff here. But your moms, I want to tell you, your moms don't do very much. And your moms, they don't do very much. Okay, listen to this. Our moms, they hear this. Mom! Mom! Our moms are answering all the questions. They do the laundry. They do the dishes. They do the cleaning. They do the cooking. And they're smiling. They nurse the baby. They wake up 6 times each night with the children because they're crying or they need to take them potty. They discipline the children. They do school. They bathe the children. And they're cheerful. There's no complaining. They're washing the windows. They're mowing the lawn. They're planting the garden. They're pulling the weeds. But supper can't be late. Children need to be ready for church on time. Dad needs a hug and feel loved. Praying, reading the Bible. There are huge boot tracks across the kitchen floor, but they're singing. There's a glass of milk dumped on the carpet. And the baby just spit up over mom's dress. The two youngest girls need their hair done, and the girls' dresses are too tight. And the boy's pants have a hole, and dad's shirt button has just popped off because of his growing waist. The youngest just tipped over the flower plant, and the 3-year-old just hit his brother. The boys really need haircuts. And the frog just drowned in the pail on the front porch. And the grass was so high that the mower plugged up. And the fruit trees need trimmed 3 weeks ago. And there's still a smile from mom. Children, moms are very important. Moms are very important. Children, moms, you should be very thankful for the mom you have. I think it'd be a blessing if there would be an opportunity for children to express this morning just their appreciation and honor for their mother. But I'd like to just come back and just say, there's a whole worldly view of moms. And I'd like to just bring us back away from all that and just say, God wants our sisters to be real moms. And God wants our children to grow up with the right vision of mom. We need our moms. I want to give a special honor to the moms that are here this morning. The Lord bless you all.